Already started. Welcome everyone to episode 6 of the SFL Drifters podcast. Your host is always the Captain Ben, and with me as always, who seems to be enjoying his new ringtones, is Mr. Tim Murphy.
Yeah, sorry. What's up?
And with us as well, unfortunately, is Noel Garcia.
Unfortunately, how you doing?
It's like a what?
It's like a bad dream that just won't quit.
Yes.
You guys keep inviting me to this stuff. I don't know what
no,
you guys
No, we don't invite you. You just show up.
No, actually, we had to force him to come today. He was helping Ralph.
Yeah,
with Ralphie boy.
With head gasket issues.
I know what.
There's more than just head gasket issues with that car.
Tim, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, me? Finally got my slab poured for my garage. So I have today got the last load of dirt to fill in where the driveway's gone. So hopefully, the next couple weeks, having a big barbecue, have everybody come over and assemble my garage so I can start working on my new chassis.
Don't want to broadcast to the world that you're having like a house party or something like that.
It's gonna blow.
Have you seen the movie Project X?
Yeah, but you know what the thing is when they see work, they're not gonna want to come over. So I'm not worried.
You're gonna put up a sign up front saying, if you want to enter, you must work.
Exactly. But I will feed them. I will feed them good. So anyways.
Okay.
I figure we'll get 15 guys. Put it up. We should be able to get it done in a day. Have the scaffolding and all the guns. And
well, if work's involved, you shouldn't expect me to be there. FYI.
No, but you can come and delegate.
Hey, I'm down with that.
Yeah, come eat. We're going to do chicken and ribs.
Okay. Noel, how about you? I'm sure nothing much is going on with you, considering how you're living the 8-6 life.
No, it's just getting worse and worse every day. I just 100% of the time, I'm worried if my car is going to make it.
So. How? It's a Toyota.
Yeah, but you're always making fun of my car, so.
Yeah, but the only redeeming.
No, but it's old. It's old. Just.
But okay, but just go. So what else have you been up to? Right fast.
Just right work. Quick. Just working, saving money to get the car.
That's nothing interesting. Nobody cares about that. Something exciting.
Nothing exciting is happening.
You hijacked the car or something.
No.
Did you hijack a car?
No. No? A cop pulled up behind me today and threw the sirens on, and he just made a U-turn.
Yeah, because he's like, this guy's not going to be able to pay attention.
Yeah, it's not. He saw the 86. He was like, oh, that guy's living that life? Mm-mm.
Oh, boy.
His life's bad enough.
Yeah.
Well, in any case, we have an exciting show lined up for you today with lots of interesting topics.
Can't wait. Excited.
Yeah, I'm not going to run through it. I mean, it's a general idea. We're always talking about SWD, always talking about FD, always talking about CFRC, the Soto, skid pad, the kind of line. So we just got to get to it.
Let's get to it.
So first things first, the last skid pad, we actually had an early entry contest.
Yes.
And
it was pretty exciting. Also, it was pretty cool, considering for those that haven't been to the skid pad. Yeah, you think early entry contests, super exciting, high speed.
Yeah.
Not so with the skid pad.
Yeah.
Skid pad, the hard part, it's hard to enter early because there's not much running. So you're trying to enter early, but they have to connect the track. So you're talking first and then initiating at second gear and trying to stretch forever just to get to the first clip.
Yeah.
So, but they, were able to do it.
One guy, Andrew Bowman, he really tried to stretch it. And he just filled it up by hitting, his bumper hit the wall.
Yeah. Well, because he was the last champion for the last early entry competition that we had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he won the last one.
Oh, okay.
So he was trying
to about that.
He was trying to show the new guys what's up, but he didn't.
But,
sort of.
It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You had some pretty good contenders setting the cone further, the initiation cone further back. Because we were using a cone to mark where they initiated from the sign lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept going further back.
Yeah, I was actually surprised how far back they were.
And the funny thing is you think, I can't get any further back than this. And next thing you know, some guy just
defies
the laws of physics.
It came down between Doug Castro.
Yeah.
And JJ, how do you say his last name?
Nico?
Nike?
JJ. Anyways, came down between those two and ended up, Doug got the earliest entry.
Yeah.
But what we did is we had the earliest entry and the second earliest entry. Now, this was, we gave Doug the option because there was $50 at stake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much, but it pays it's for the something. Entry and it pays for gas. You know, hey, it's something better than nothing, considering we don't usually do anything.
Yeah.
We gave Doug the option, because since him and JG are buddies anyways, say, you got the earliest, but do you want to tandem the next one? Because that's what we did last time. We had Andrew Bowman versus John Bowerman.
Yeah.
We got the two earliest entries. We made them tandem battle for first place for the prize.
Yeah.
So we did that this time, and JG ended up taking it.
Hey, Doug didn't necessarily have to do that.
No, I know. And we left it up to him.
But I guess it's like, if you really want to prove to everyone that you are the master of the early entry, you must battle the second place to show, to cement your honor and your dignity and how good you are, I guess, if you want to call it like that.
I think they just, you know, said, yeah, let's go for it, you know, because that made it good for the crowd, too. And we've been getting a lot of spectators. That's another thing.
Yeah.
So,
but the other crazy, it's just watching some of them just try it and just fail.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
Damian Fernandez took out one of his friend's cars.
Took out Cholo's, right?
Cholo. He's always driving Cholo's car.
And mind you, it wasn't the best running condition. And he just failed it up on the entry, and he didn't stop. He just kept on going and going, and he ended up going off the track.
Yeah, that was bad. That was pretty bad.
We're like, was that supposed to happen? Was that part of the script? But no, unfortunately not. The other interesting thing was the Travel Channel appeared.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
And we didn't even know about it.
No. It was one of those things where we showed up, and it just happened to be that they were doing a show called Trip Flip.
Yeah.
Where they randomly, they'll say they'll go to the mall, and they'll run up to people and say, hey, you want to go on vacation? And they're like, okay, I guess. Or we'll pay for everything, but we're not going to tell you where you're going to go and what you're going to do. And so then they take them on these different adventures, I guess, to say, and film them while they're doing it.
Would you do that?
I would definitely do it. Free trip.
Yeah,
you wouldn't do it?
Well, I know Noel will definitely do anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
if it's free, I'll do it.
Can you imagine? Now, could you imagine?
That could be bad.
Yeah. Me and you, we're hanging out, and they come up to us and say, we're like, sure, we'll go on vacation. And then they take us drifting. And we're going to be like, oh, really? This is not exciting.
Come on now.
They're going to take us drag racing.
Kick the guy, the driver to the side. He's like, let me show you how it's done.
This guy sucks. Can I drive? No.
Yeah.
But JJ does another thing. JJ was like all-star. Not only did he win the early entry competition, but they picked his car to put the contestant or the whatever you want to call that person that they took on a trip. Yeah. And then the other person that was on the vacation went and did the drags, and they had a drag rail car, I guess, to take it for a ride or some funny car or something.
I don't know what it was. Something. I didn't see it.
It looked, from my
memory. Well, you should know. You're big in the drag racing world.
I didn't see what they rode in, so.
Oh, then you're not big into it, then.
I'm not.
Slacking.
Yes, indeed. No, but going back to the whole thing of would you go on this trip if somebody would have been
definitely.
Like, oh, yeah, go to... What if they were to... You've,
oh, gosh.
What if you end up going to Afghanistan?
Oh. We're going to have you check for mines in the minefield. It's too late then. I would do it, though. I don't care.
You don't care?
I would care.
No.
You would care.
I would care. I'd be like, hey, wait.
I mean, you'd have to assume that they're not going to put you
in danger
in war,
or in danger, like Noel just pointed out.
Well,
that's a good point.
Put you in danger because technically putting you in a real fast drag car kind of puts you in danger.
That's true.
Putting you in a drift car, I guess, can be putting you in danger.
Of course, it's dangerous. Living life on the line.
The thing is, drifting is not as dangerous as it looks. Usually, it's the other way around. If you think about it.
Yeah, that's true.
It depends. Well, if you're an 8.6, it's definitely.
Well, but then you're just endangering yourself.
Hey, but you're talking about a Toyota. What's wrong with you, man? Anyway, let's keep going.
Whatever. I'm not going to get into that. But go ahead, Tim.
No, I would definitely go on vacation. I'd be down for it.
Noel?
Yeah, that sounds fun. I mean, just the millions of scenarios or
millions,
whatever.
Millions of scenarios.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenarios out there.
Millions.
Like, what would be your dream vacation?
My dream vacation? Go to Japan and just go to Ibisu and just stay there a whole week. And just look at all the junk.
I can just imagine Noel. He'll open up one of the gates to the zoo exhibits and he'll just be there as an exhibit.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Like, I have to laugh at that. That
put you in a cage. It's like, look at the American
in a cage. I'd be like, hey, guys, how you doing?
Yeah, my two dream vacations is one Japan and the other one is Ireland.
Ireland?
Yes. Hmm. I like to get back to my roots.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
I would have gone for a second vacation. I would have gone to Germany.
That's a good one too.
I got to be able to drive on the Nürburgring sometime in my life. I mean,
VH, take your 86. You're gonna piss a lot of people off.
Down that back street,
scooters are passing
rust.
Him.
There's rust all over the track.
No, scooters are gonna be passing him.
Me, me, me. My voice isn't even fun anymore. My tires rub. I can't go too fast.
I fixed that problem.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah. Okay. But going back to the skip pad, it was great, and definitely for JJ, I mean, he was the star of the night.
He was. I love JJ. What I like about JJ, you say, hey, Jay, you want, I don't care, I just want to drive. He's almost, he kind of reminds me of Esty back in the day a little bit.
Yeah.
The way he's just like down for whatever, laid back. A little hype, more hyper than Esty. Esty is a little more, you know, low key, mm-hmm.
right.
but still the same mentality. I just want to drive and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care, let's do it. You know, if I know when we saw the, did you see their video? The street was a Street Bangers video. Street Warriors.
One of their 45th Street videos.
Anyways, so during one of the videos,
ADD kicked in hard,
huh?
Don't worry about it.
Is it street legal?
Your ADD kicked in hard.
Oh, Tim. It, yeah, it
I does. Think it's street legal.
Street legal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, street legal video. That he was like, well. Today, you know, he didn't get the call, but he's like, it's whatever, it's how it goes. And I like that mentality. I think, you know, the majority of drivers have that, but then you have some drivers that they just cry about everything.
The other thing I regret about JJ that I really am frowning upon is the fact that he's from West Palm Beach.
Yeah.
And of course, if you're not familiar with it, we have a personal vendetta against everyone from West Palm Beach. We want them all banned.
Yes.
So
where
please.
Did that come from? Can you explain where that came from? Because I actually don't know where that came from.
That came from the forums by...
Eric?
No, I forgot exactly who started it. But it was just... It began with all the crazy
Harvey.
Behavior.
I bet Harvey did.
Maybe. I don't know. But it came from all the crazy behavior that we would hear from West Palm.
Yeah, we need to get our facts straight.
Yes. But anyway.
If we don't know what we're talking about, we shouldn't talk about it at all.
I think we should.
But then, no, this is what I remember hearing. It's like you would hear all these crazy things happening at West Palm, and you're thinking, like, what's going on up there? Seriously. It's mm-hmm. like another like zone area, and even though they're considered South Florida for some strange reason.
Right.
Even though it really isn't.
No, yeah. It's really
That's what
like
I find
South
so confusing. Yeah.
South Central.
That's a good one, I guess you could call it.
They would like that, though. Maybe we shouldn't have said that, because now they're going to probably use that. South Central. Anyways,
maybe.
Anyhow, ban West Palm Beach. Don't know why, really.
Hashtag ban West Palm Beach.
Yeah, but JJ gives West Palm, but so does Bill. See,
the other problem I had. I was like, why does Bill have to be from West Palm? Seriously.
Right.
But
JJ,
whatever.
But anyways, yes. So
what's coming up tomorrow? Tomorrow we have another skip pad,
mm-hmm.
and... We couldn't come up with that fancy title. I mean, that's why we called it the water battle.
The water battle.
The water contest.
Or the water challenge.
The water contest sounds sexy.
I guess.
That was an awkward pause.
Oh, I was thinking about wet t-shirt. I was going to compete in it, but that's not the... That's
Seriously,
not the case.
I just ate.
This is just going downhill fast.
In any case, so water battle. Tim. Run us through. What's going to happen? What do
you
have?
Of course it is. Most people are going to say, oh, you guys are fanboys or you watch too much Initial D or whatever. But we're trying to come up with fun competitions.
Hey, I'm not afraid to admit it. I watch Initial D too. I've been watching
seen
Stage
every
5.
Episode. Yeah, I've seen it. Well, I haven't got
You need to get around
5.
To that.
I do. I need more time.
But go ahead. Sorry.
So anyhow, I made this little contraption with a sticky pot from a GoPro. And I'm going to get clear plastic cups. We're going to sticky pod the cup holder onto the front of the windshield of each driver.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to fill the cup to the top with water. I believe Ryan Turk did something similar where they had to hold a cup of water while they're driving.
Yeah.
But yeah. I didn't want to do that because just you're probably not people aren't going to do it because then spill it on the radio or spill it on left, whatever. You know, Ryan Turk, they don't really care about the cars that they're using anyways. Some of these guys drive their cars all the time, so they're not going to want to damage their interior. Anyhow, that being said, I made this little contraption. It's going to sticky put on their windshield. They're going to put their name on the cup, fill it up to the very top, and they're going to have to go around the track. They obviously have to connect the track or it's not going to count. And we're going to do it about for an hour. And whoever has the most water in their cup left when they come off the track wins the event. And it won't be any tandem for first or second. It's just going
to
be...
No, tandem is just...
No. Until time.
Oh, boy. That's going to be interesting.
Well, you think we should make a tandem?
No. I think it's fine. I think whoever has the most amount of water should take the win.
If there's a tie, then yes, we'll tandem.
Yes, that's actually what I was going to mention,
too. Maybe, you know, if you're within a quarter of an inch... I even have a scale. I can bring the scale out there and weigh it.
Do it. Yeah. We want,
I'm going to have to wash my scale off, though, because there's other stuff on it.
All right, fine, I guess.
Oh, no, I use it for measuring Freon.
But see, here's the problem, though.
Okay. I was a little bit worried for a second.
Okay, but here's the potential issue that I see, is what if you have five guys that have about... the same water level.
We'll see if I weigh it. Then.
Well, but what if you don't have the weigh? Like, the scale, I'm sorry.
Make him do it again. I mean, I'm not having a five-car tandem. Of course, they did do that.
You should.
Why? Oh, okay, now we're going back to the wagon train idea that I came up earlier. That you're like, that's a good idea. We'll just have a wagon train like the Old West, and we'll just keep throwing cars in there until it explodes.
It'll be like a Survivor kind of game.
No surviving. You're serious about that, aren't you?
We need to come up with crazy ideas to get people talking about Cannon Line, whether it's good or bad. Heck, they're already talking about the water contest. Everyone was like, water contest? What's this all about?
Really?
You didn't see it on the forum? They're like...
Don't pay attention too much.
Well, Tim shouldn't say that. They're like, water contest? What's that all about? And then after you explained it, they're like, oh, you must be watching too much Initial D.
There's never enough Initial D.
Oh, whatever.
That show's very realistic, just saying.
It is. Very factual cartoon.
I know.
Considering it's a cartoon.
That's why I got an 8.6.
I feel bad for Noel, because it could have been a great opportunity for him to exhibit his 8.6 abilities.
Oh, no, not me. I would have... All the water would have flipped out.
It would have been great having Noel's 8.6 with a cup holder filled up with water.
This is real life Iggy.
Blasting Eurobeat. No One Sleep in Tokyo or Night of Fire. Oh, that's even better. Night of Fire. Because it'll be a night at the skid pad.
I was going to say, we should have my car parked in the middle of the skid pad blasting the music.
You got half a speaker.
Oh, that's right. I kind of forgot about that.
You've got this crazy system. Hold on, a little off topic.
And then we'll come back. But I went with Noel to the auto show, the South Florida International Auto Show.
Did you make it there?
Miami Beach, right? Mm-hmm. We went to this the Infiniti M56. We sat inside of it, and he was on the driver's seat. And he goes and turns on the radio and turns up the volume.
Were you guys holding hands?
No. I was in the back seat.
Oh, you're ready.
Ralph was in the passenger seat, though. So if anything, he was holding hands with Noel.
Nice. So you're a dessert.
I guess. Whatever. Hey, as long as I'm driving around, I have,
No. There you go. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So he turns up the volume, and the first thing he says is like, bro, the sound system is amazing. I'm like, Ralph and I start laughing because we're like, dude. You have an 8.6. Anything, any other car sound system is amazing. Like a Yaris, a base Yaris, like a 2005 base Yaris has a better sound system than your 8.6.
It's like the kid that's been using a string and cups to talk to his friend next door, and they finally get walkie-talkies. And wow, this is you've been trying to figure out through.
That's what happens. I mean, I'm stuck in the 80s.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a good idea to put your car in the middle of the track. Now, if we paint your car a two-tone, and then we would have to sort of you have to make a cardboard box so that way it looks like a hatchback. We'll paint that too.
Yeah, why did you get a coupe? Because you couldn't find a hatch, or because you liked the coupe better?
Couldn't afford it. He just couldn't afford it. But
was there really that much difference in price?
Yes.
No, not entirely. I mean, it's just...
Yes. Look at that. You're not saying no. You're saying not entirely.
Because if it's a GTS, it's a GTS. It's sought after. That's all it is.
It's enough that he couldn't afford it. He couldn't afford the difference.
Well, I mean,
is there that much difference between...
Well, let's put it this way.
Fanboy status.
Let's put it this way. Any ragged out GTS is going to be no less than like $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
I got mine for $1,300. I wasn't looking to, you know, spend that much money anyway, and it was just an opportunity. I don't care if it's Cooper hatch.
I do love the hatches, though.
I've had two hatches and three coupes.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've had too many Corollas.
You've had that many Corollas?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Most of them.
Exactly. And I just leave it at that.
Most of them are just a result of my driving.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. No surprise there. In any case, water battle should be interesting tomorrow. Let's see what happens.
And we're constantly trying to come up with different ideas.
The one following will be a team tandem.
We're going to do a team tandem.
I heard some people talking about it already.
I do. We will be giving away some shift knobs and stuff as well.
What?
Tony from the track called me. He got a bunch of stuff. He's like, "Hey, listen, I got a bunch of stuff. It's brand new. It's free." He goes, "You can just give it out." So I'll be handing out some stuff tomorrow.
Hey, not bad.
You know it. People are probably
and Noel can use the new shift knob.
Oh no, mine is fine.
Yours is fine. You're just waiting for Giacomo to build you your carbon fiber one.
Yes,
Giacomo. I still don't.
Don't worry about it. In any case, water battle skip pad. You definitely want to be there. You definitely want to be at the.
Bring your bathing suit. Maybe not.
No, please, no.
No, we don't want to see Ben in a bikini, a two piece.
And I'm still working on the.
But you would even think of that? Means you thought of it.
That is true.
I was going to say something else, but I'm just going to move on to the next topic.
But you thought it too.
All right, because this is just getting picture. Too
it's
crazy.
Like you're just saying something. I could boom.
Yeah.
So Ben in a two piece.
Oh. Yeah. Switching gears.
Yes. Sorry. Yes.
Chelsea Denofa put out a video titled "The Delivery." Him and BG, black guy from Central Florida, who now moved over to California.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Yep.
Did he take his car?
Yeah, yep. Took his car. Mm-hmm. And they produced a video together, again, titled "The Delivery."
Yeah.
And it was, I don't even know how to begin talking about it, but basically the premise is a guy calls to order pizza.
Yeah.
The
I guess, you know, my biggest thing about it, like...
Well, let me set up the premise.
Okay,
there's people out there who have yet, or today, have seen the video for the first time.
Like me, like half hour ago.
Yes. And basically, a guy calls to order pizza, right? The pizza guy who ends up being a FD driver, driver.
Who is it?
Chelsea.
No, I mean, I thought you meant the guy calling.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Chelsea receives the phone call. Mm-hmm. He places the order. He then grabs the pizza, and then he just proceeds to drift his way to the customer. Along the way, he runs into a BG, and they have a little tandem action. And then finally, at the end, they deliver the pizza, and not everyone's happy because apparently the customer was not satisfied with his order. So might be a little quick, but this early. Mini review about it. Tim, seeing it for the first time today, what do you think?
Well, I think they could have done better. Definitely a lot better.
Yeah.
The only thing I could really say that I really liked about it was Chelsea's driving.
Yeah, that's true.
I would have liked to see. The thing is if you're going to make a video, like if you're just going to make a quick video, maybe it wasn't meant to be what everybody's assuming, because when you read the thing on the forum, this video, you're expecting something like a great video, and it's not. It's more like just a joking video, hanging out and doing something.
Like, from my perspective, there it was a lot of hype, like a lot of build-up to it.
Right.
They were like, oh, it's coming out. Watch out. Right. It's going to be sick. I'm like, okay, it should be interesting.
It wasn't sick.
And I was in the videos that Chelsea and his company and his team, they produce during his journey through the FD season.
Right, were great.
They were great. Awesome.
You're expecting those videos. I mean, those other videos were well done, very well, not necessarily, I don't want to say documented, but it was a plan. You can tell it was well-orchestrated video, well shot. It had good footage, and it was good. And it had a good interaction with Chelsea, with the interviews and whatnot. This was just like, it was, I don't know.
Noel, what do you think?
I think it was fun for the drivers, but not as fun for the watchers.
I'm sure it looked like a blast for the people watching. But I don't know why he picked BG to drift. I mean,
ooh. Careful there.
Well, no. I mean, why? I can't say that. If I was doing it, they'd be saying it about me. And if I was screwing up, they'd say it about me. I don't. What does it matter? I mean, he. We gonna. Does he?
Hey, BG's a rad dude. Get your facts straight.
No, but what I'm saying is that you see how many times he. Anyways, you watch all the screw ups he had. You know, so I think they should have picked somebody better, and they should have. But you know, it's always on the outside looking in.
It's also the car.
And bringing it up, what would have been good is having Pat, Jeremy,
right.
and Chelsea, all three of them together, and them doing something crazy out on the.
I think that would have been a lot better.
Yeah, that would.
But you have BG, which is you're talking. Chelsea's up here, and he's way down here. You know, he's still learning. It looks like, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's a new car.
I mean, you can only use that excuse for so long.
Yeah, but
true.
You know, he built that car. Whether it's new or not, that car was purpose built to drift, from what I saw.
Yeah,
you know, there.
I mean, how much seat time has he really?
I don't
had,
know.
You know,
well, like, no, I mean, that's fine. You know, because. I'm just saying, if you're going to use the video, the thing is, his car is sick. Maybe use his car, but have somebody else drive it for the video. I'm just talking about for video.
Yeah.
Driving, whether he's been doing it for a long time or whatever, that's here or there. I'm all, you know, whatever. That's whatever. But if you're going to do a video, I think you should definitely grab Pat or Box Mod, or I'm sorry, Jason Giovanni, grab somebody and then had it a better interaction.
Yeah.
You know, maybe tandeming through the streets. But it looks like, of course, a lot of the street drifting was illegal. I don't think they closed down the
highway.
Heck
no. It would have been great having Box Mod, because you could be like, oh, look, put cheese on that.
Right.
You could make a play that the Box Mod is a car that's made of cheese.
Or, you know, they could have had Chelsea leave, and then Box Mod say, oh, he forgot his Coke. And then bring his Cokes, and then have them tandem to the delivery. That would have been a good idea.
I like where he's going. That's good.
See, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Trying to invent, like, if you're going to build a hype up for a video, plan it. Not just like, okay, we're going to...
No, I think it was planned. I just think the story behind it and the premise behind it wasn't so interesting. Wasn't so like, oh, snap.
And then again, people that are listening, what we're kind of saying is... We're looking at his previous videos and comparing the previous videos to this video and the hype that this video had behind it. It was a letdown. I think they should have spent more time in it or focused more on some kind of story and made it a little more interesting. Because as you're watching the video, you're kind of like, you lose interest pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You already know what's going to happen. He's going to be late. And it, you know,
he's already covered all bases with it. The video.
But I mean, Chelsea's driving is just great.
That car is sick.
I love the car and the way it sounds and the smoke and everything.
That's the one thing that just
that keeps
you watching the video is the car and the driving. It's Chelsea's driving. Yeah, let's just stick to Chelsea there.
Tim's trying to emphasize on that.
Well, Chelsea's driving,
but it's not fully entertaining. It's just it doesn't capture you, you know.
But all in all, at the end of the day, I'm sure they had a blast doing it.
I had some entertaining ideas that I mentioned earlier that we were just talking about, and I think it's a great idea.
I think we should do them.
Okay.
I have the track. You know, we can do something.
Problem is getting the 18 wheeler though.
We go down a triangle.
No, the problem is getting the 18. That's all they need to know.
No.
They're not going to know if I mention the 18-wheeler.
Anyhow, let's go on to the next subject.
The Ferrari.
We're beating a dead horse here. Or we're beating a dead 8.6.
Okay. Funny.
Yeah, that's more like Gabby's 8.6. Mine is still alive.
Nobody cares.
Okay.
In interesting news, XDC, Extreme Drift Championship, whatever.
Circuit. Extreme Drift Circuit.
Really? Who cares? Anywho.
It's just
most of the staff
back straight.
Yeah. Sorry. All right.
Sorry.
Thank you, Tim. Fact checker.
Yes.
A little funnier to Tim than the rest of us.
Most of the staff walked out. And this just happened 2 weeks ago, I think. The news came out on Rec Magazine that most of the staff from the 2012 season ended up walking out.
Do you want me to read the article for those that haven't? I can read it.
No, they could go there.
Okay.
I mean, and the idea is, you don't need to, the idea is that most of the staff walked out. Matt Petty, I know, walked out. Some of the judges walked out. Mm-hmm. The main guys that made up the event, they walked out.
Well, Dan Summers and Matt Petty, they went to judges, right? To be, from what I read,
I don't recall. But it definitely is
no,
not
Brian,
good for
Brian Edgar. He now he's one of the judges for Form AD. Apparently, he made the jump to a Form AD.
Yeah, he did that last year.
Oh, yeah. He did it last year, right?
He jumped ship. He's like, oh no, I'm not dealing with this.
But let's see here, we got Dan Summers, Matt Petty, and Mike Schneider and John Wagner have also announced that they will not be working with XDC for 2013.
No.
Now, if you go to the XDC website, I don't even think it has a champion except from 2012 up.
Like I seriously don't think they're going to do a season this year.
They didn't announce a schedule till late in 2012 for the 2012 anyways.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you still think it's going to happen, even though most of the staff has already been walked out?
Well, you can always find people to volunteer. That's not going to be hard.
That's true. I mean, they could call in the wall for all we know.
No, it's
not like it's going to make the series any better.
No,
it's going to go down.
Heck, but at least Noel will enjoy it. He's like, hey, free trip.
I'm not driving, so it's all right, I guess.
Well, I don't know. XCC... Were you at the CFRC?
No, but I heard that was filled with controversy.
Oh, it was horrible. I heard from one of the media guys they were a media guy, and they were getting yelled at.
Yeah.
Whether they had the vest, they had everything they were supposed to. They were just mass disorganization. I heard it was very poorly run. Not only that, is the track layout was horrific.
Really?
You have CFRC. There's... Honestly, they should have kept it pretty close to the same, because this was before CFRC is as big as it is now, but it was after. It was the middle stage, I guess, of CFRC.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. They should have left it the same layout or used a small variation, but what they did is it was a right-hand sweeper to a quick U-turn and then one big donut out. There was one transition. So you have all that space, and for me, you're a pro amateur, or are they considered a pro professional event?
It's kind of weird with them. It's like they're halfway pro am and pro.
Yeah,
some
consider it like a stepping stone to FD.
Yeah.
Okay. So being said, I would expect more creativity in making a track layout.
Yeah.
More challenging.
No, but I also heard that too about the media from somebody else. They mentioned that they went to one of their other events, and they too had problems there too. No, you're going to say something?
I was just going to go on with what type of event it is. It's a national event. They go from coast to coast, and to be honest, the level of driving there is great. It's not FD level.
No, actually, you know what? I'm sorry.
But it prepares you a lot better than Pro-Am.
No, actually, I just went on our website. They must have just put this up recently, but, you know, but at least I checked, so we're getting our facts straight.
Good.
They actually did post up a 2013 schedule.
Really?
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep, they're running alongside with it's called the Night Shift Schedule. The first event is going to be at CFRC May 19th.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Second event will be in New Hampshire Motor Speedway on August 3rd and 4th. The Texas venue is September. They don't have a date. And then Auto Club Speedway in Fontana, California is in October. So they do have four dates up. So that's just new, because I could have sworn I was on there just like last week and there was nothing on there.
Yeah, that must be original.
A few days ago, wasn't up either. I looked it up.
Yeah, so that's good. So that's a good thing I checked. So, but they do have a four-date schedule, and we'll see what happens.
I was just concerned. The series has gone through a lot of controversy, lawsuits for not paying the certain track.
They were really bad, yeah.
Then it came a point where the drivers weren't getting paid, and now this, most of the staff walked out. I mean, it makes you wonder, who are they going to bring in to replace them? And if those people are going to be credible.
You know, it's not like we're that organized, apparently, anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's much step down. What they got going for them is their name right now. People are going to do the event because it's an XDC event, whether it's bad or good. Yeah. It is a stepping stone. It's a recognized event. Sponsors want to see their sponsored cars there. It is what it is. They built the name up, so now it's like what seems to happen with a lot of organizers is that they build up this hype. They get like a couple real, like Nopi, for instance.
Yeah.
They build up this hype with drifting or whatever it is, and then it's like their head gets too big, or they start just like kicking back and saying, oh, you know, it's going to run itself, and then it just goes down.
Yeah.
I think the only ones that hasn't happened to, Formula D, hopefully they get their judging together better this year. They're the only pro drift circuit in America now.
Yeah.
They kind of see, from what I don't want to get into that because I don't have the facts on it. But anyhow, SWD, they don't seem, they still run the events the way they run them. You know, Brian and his brother Tim, they're great guys, and they focus on, you know, having a good time. And they run their events. They run solid events.
Well, if you look at the way FD is, every year they're making changes to the series to bring more excitement, bring more, and just to make the competition better.
Right.
Even if it's good or bad, they're always trying to improve on, and that's why they keep having the fans come back, and the drivers and teams build crazy cars, because that's where they want to be.
Well, that's actually it's a good point you bring up, because it's a good segue to our next topic.
Mm-hmm.
FD's new qualifying criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind it is that I guess they want to avoid, prevent people from sandbagging.
Sandbagging is a good way, yeah.
During the qualifying session, they
can't be biased on it.
Well,
because there was a lot of bias. Oh, he was sandbagging, and then I know other people were sandbagging, and they were saying, "Oh, they're left foot braking. That's okay."
Here's the thing: on the first qualifying runs of every driver, the top 16 will be locked in.
Mm-hmm.
But the positions 17 through 32, they'll then be battling it out for the final positions.
Yeah, they'll be doing their same qualifying runs again, just. Now, it's kind of a reverse Formula One qualifying. If you've ever watched Formula One, you know that the first session, it's all 24 cars, and the second session is the fastest 17, and then the third session is the fastest 10. Well, this time, the best 16 just sit out the rest of qualifying for the second run. So then everybody's just going to battle it out, like just run as hard as they can to get into the show after that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna make it a little more interesting to see, you know how the lower 32 the lower half of the 32, how they're gonna like try to get in and see, and it's probably gonna change it up with Daigo.
Yeah, but see, this is the funny thing is that I was just checking out Rec Magazine, the article on it, and it says Formula Drift qualifying rules changed to knockout style. Watch out, sandbaggers, and then. They have a picture of Daigo Saito.
Well,
I just think that's a little wrong, but
a little nice little pun there.
They should have Forsberg in there too.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Noel.
You already mentioned Daigo. We've seen his qualifying efforts aren't very.
Yes, I do agree. I do agree. He plays the game
a lot.
He does play the game.
Yeah. But do you think it will be effective? Do you think it will make the venue more exciting for the spectators?
I'll tell you this much.
I don't know. This season was pretty exciting for spectators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me tell you that the qualifying segment is exciting, but to a certain point.
But that's why it's done the day before. That's why they do it the first day.
Yeah.
But it's like it runs on too long.
There's so many drivers, 40, 50.
I understand that. I understand that. But like, you know, a lot of spectators get bored. It's just and then like it's just one car per two
Maybe
minutes.
It's just you.
No, listen.
All right, go ahead.
But now they're cutting down time on qualifying, so that way they can get back to like, you know, the practices and Friday night practice is pretty much the coolest part of it.
Actually, it's Friday and Saturday event, but they're practicing Thursday.
Yeah, well, you know,
I think what he's trying to refer to is the Friday night tandem practice.
Yeah,
where you got the top 32 already figured out, so you're like, oh, what's going to happen to, like, it's a, like an anticipation of, like, what's going to happen the next day. Like, for instance, if you already know, like, from the brackets, Daigo is going to be going against Chris Forsberg in the first round of eliminations the next day, you're going to want to be able to see them, how they're tandeming against one another, so you can sort of get an idea of what, like, of the outcome of what's going to be. You're like, oh, man, it's going to be so sick.
And, no, that's what happens. And this last year, I went to Atlanta and PBIR, and Friday night practice is insane. They really push hard. It's incredible.
I don't know. I watched PBIR, the practice there. I saw them failing up like crazy until they changed it. They changed the track around like constantly.
Not that much. I thought
Friday night practice was awesome.
Not this last year.
Maybe I'm thinking Thursday.
You're thinking of Thursday.
As far as SWD, they were changing it up. We did qualifying run, or we did practice runs
on two layouts, pretty much.
Right, and it was different when we went out for our qualifying runs.
Yeah.
It changed, for luck, at least as on a pro-am side.
Yeah.
Now, as far as what they were doing on FD side, I know they changed a lot. They kept making it wider and wider and wider. One question I do have is, so the top 16 drivers, so they have 40 cars, they take the top 16 from the first run.
Uh-huh.
Now, those are going to be, and they're going to be in order of their score. They mm-hmm. got the top 16. Then the second round, those top 16 don't have to drive anymore, correct?
Yeah, that's it. They're locked in.
They don't drive anymore. And so now that's going to speed things up a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
But my problem is that we have seen, and I've noticed, and I'm sure you noticed as well,
that
the cars in the beginning are getting judged much harsher, or much more harsh than the ones that come later on, because I've seen cars that put down really solid runs in the beginning of qualifying, and then later on you see a guy that puts down like an okay run, gets a higher score. You're like, what is up with that?
Noah and I, we figured it out. We sort of made like have a little theory behind it. And this was after so many sessions at the chat box.
And it doesn't seem to be biased. It just seems that...
But we just find it crazy, like, watching the live stream, and we have this little game going where we guess what the judge's score is going to be, and... It's funny how at the beginning, it's always like the judges are scoring low, so then we get but we give it a high score. We're like, that was a good run, and we gave it a high score.
Right.
But they're giving low scores. So then it gets to a point where then we're giving a low score because the run doesn't look that good.
Yeah.
But the judges are giving a high score, so we're like, damn it.
So we got to readjust.
So right. then afterwards, towards the end, we find the equilibrium. We're like, it's like a 70. Like, actually, we figured out it's like, we initially think it's an 80, but then we take into account the difference, and we find the balance. So we equal it out.
Yeah.
So it always works out towards the end of the qualifying session where we're pretty eye to eye on what the judges are seeing.
Yeah, we've done that for a lot of the events. It's kind of a fun game.
Yes.
But it's
get the app.
It's annoying though. It's like you're really trying to figure out what are the judges looking at.
Yeah.
So like it just makes qualifying like you look at some of the runs, you're like, he should have qualified and he didn't make it.
I like it though. I like the idea. Top 16 because everybody out the gate's gonna be because they want to get those top 16 spots, because if you don't get in the top 16, you're gonna be there's only 16 spots left available, so you got to do good.
Happen is off the bat they're gonna run it hard, and the other people that didn't make the top 16, they're gonna run it hard again. So it's always gonna be. As hard as you can go,
right.
It's always going to be something exciting to watch. So I think it's a good move on Formula D to do a knockout.
But qualifying is always boring because they have to go and the judges have to score it.
Yeah,
you can't set another car there on there until
they
score.
That's what I was saying before. Like the spectators get bored of just waiting and waiting.
Like
and
I said, as a spectator, you want to come on the day of the competition. But that's with any sport, any motorsports. Qualifying is always boring. Look at NASCAR. There's one car going around.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, of course. It's only the diehards that really want to come out and see the whole thing.
Exactly. So, it's got boring aspects, but at the same time, when do you draw the line of pleasing spectators versus making it a legit competition? Like, do you say, okay, it's boring for the spectators, so let's make it action-packed for the spectators, but let's neglect the needs of the drivers?
Well, there is a prominent figure in the South Florida... Yes, prominent figure in the South Florida
Go figure.
Yes. In the South Florida area, who criticizes FD and states that it's not a competition, it's not a legit competition, it's a show.
Which it is.
And if you think about it and analyzing it, you're like, it makes sense. It's a show.
Do we want to mention this prominent figure?
I don't know.
Okay, let's not.
Let's not drop any names.
Okay, no names.
But he's a prominent figure,
okay.
Obviously. Top guy. But in any case, but it sort of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because, for instance, you have this, like, the build-up for the final event last year. Mm-hmm. It was like a pay-per-view match.
You know
how, like, WWE...
Which I
wrestling?
Mean, no, I don't, because that's...
Well,
but anyways, I see where you're going.
Well, when I was little, wrestling,
I see where you're going. Actually, I see where you're going.
They would talk about, like, all these, like, matches that would happen, and next year, you know, it's like, it's all going to get settled at WrestleMania! Be there!
Yeah, a lot of hype built up.
Exactly. Because it's like, it's always, like, months of build-up of, mm-hmm. like, back and forth and yada, yada, yada.
Like I said, this
and
is
then
the first
next thing you know, it's like, everything's going to go down on the line. Everything's going to be settled. Be there. Watch it all unfold. It's going to happen.
What's the,
and that's basically what happened at the final event. So it's like...
This was the most exciting season of FD yet.
Yeah, it's only getting better.
Even with the crap, you know... With the judging and missed calls and whatever,
yes.
It was still very exciting.
Well, like you pointed out, another thing in regards to what every sport has, well, one of them being controversy.
Right.
And I think it's a good thing to talk about our next topic, which is right now filled with a lot of controversy, is SWD with mm-hmm. Endema. I know we're switching it up a little bit.
That's good. Perfect. Flows better.
Yeah. SWD with Endema. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting, to say the least. I don't even know where to begin, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I guess I can begin, because I don't know if I was the first to know this or probably not, but I had contacted Brian Phillips with SWD about the Endema. Because of the experience that we had at County Line with Endema.
Well, let's sort of backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
Because Endema, they primarily focus on doing drag events.
And car shows.
And car shows and so forth. And I guess they were trying to capitalize on the opportunity of hosting drift events, since they have extra space for it. And in doing so, they tried to do an event at County Line once, and apparently it didn't turn out so well.
Mm-hmm.
So this time around, for this year, on the first event, they were looking to partner up with a more professional organization to kind of bring more credibility to theirs.
Which is a great idea.
Yes, exactly. And they decided to partner up with SWD.
Mm-hmm.
And with SWD, they were going to do an event at OSW, Orlando SpeedWorld.
Mm-hmm.
And the flyers were made, it was posted, they were announced it, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's when we're like, we're a little confused about it, and we're a little skeptical about it, considering of what we heard from the previous event.
Right.
So, Tim, this is where you come in, and you get in contact with...
Brian, I spoke to Brian before, and I said, listen, this is the experience we had down in Miami with Endema trying to do drifting, and it was a horrible experience, and it was very unorganized.
Is this opinion or fact?
No, this is fact.
Okay,
this is
making
fact.
Sure.
This is fact. This
wanna
is definitely fact.
Get the facts
fact.
Here straight.
Yeah, we
want to
get
this is fact. That they could not even run a drifting demo at a skid pad, mm-hmm. which is the darn thing nearly runs itself. You know, and for the most part, we usually leave it set up.
No.
There's really not much. Anybody that has been there before should be able to run it and run it smoothly just watching. It's really easy.
Heck. Well, sometimes we get there late, to be perfectly honest.
Like last
sometimes
time.
We get there late and we have it up and running in like 5-10 minutes.
Right, exactly. And it runs smoothly with no issues. There's tech done. The ride-along, whoever's riding along, all the ride-alongs are wearing helmets. They're signing waivers. Everything is in order and taken care of, and it's a breeze. It's cake.
Yeah.
It nearly runs itself. They couldn't manage that. Not only that, is they had people with golf carts driving out on the track while other people were driving, and Chris Jackson, he had to stop him. And the guy's like, oh, you know, blah, 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 you know, like they can just do whatever. No, it doesn't work like that. Anyways, that being said, they can't run that, let alone talking to the owner of County Line and getting his opinion and his take on how they ran the drag racing side. Mm-hmm. Is he said there were, it was a joke. They said they're a joke. So that being said, I, being friends with Brian, seeing that he's going to take on this endeavor with these, this organization that I've already had, we've had experience with already.
Yeah.
I said, Brian, listen, watch yourself. Just be careful. He, I know Brian's a smart guy. He's not going to get anything above his head. He's going to
Brian from SWD.
Brian from SWD. Yes, Brian from SWD. Mm-hmm. I told him, and he said, "Yeah, well, thanks for the heads up. We'll make sure we keep our eyes open. You know, we should, you know, talk about this, talk about that." Because I was up there recently for the end of year bash, mm-hmm. and hung out with them up there. So that, fine. That was a couple weeks ago. I get a message on Facebook. Sure enough, they were saying one thing, doing another, planning things without. It's like they were taking, they got the okay from SWD and they wanted to run wild with it, mm-hmm. and use them to promote their own selves. Mm-hmm. And just some, a lot of miscommunication, a lot of unprofessionalism. I don't really want to go into all the details.
No,
but SWD said, listen, you know what? We're not doing it. We're backing out. So they backed out.
Yeah.
Now they're scrambling to try and find some, you know, somebody else to run. But from what I'm understanding, from what I've heard, is that they got one person that they want to do it, and they're not just sticking with one person. It's like, it's kind of reminds me of what FAR was doing when we used to run the Homestead Speedway events. If you're gonna have, if you're gonna ask somebody to run it, let them run it.
Mm.
Don't. It's too many cooks in the kitchen scenario where they're asking this guy, "Do you want to run it? This guy, do you run it?" Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to get as many names on it as they can to get more drivers there, because, okay, if you got people saying, oh, it's an SWD event, but maybe some people don't familiar with SWD, so, oh, we'll get X2C to, you know, not that they're going to do it, but they're,
who knows, those, maybe.
Yeah, who knows? Or, you know, we'll get Pat Gooden, because Pat Gooden knows a lot of drivers. So if we have all these different people running it, we'll get drivers, more drivers, but that's the wrong way to handle it. Not only that is, they don't know the first thing about running a drift event. They can barely run a drag racing event in the car show. So let alone try to tackle something else when you have... No, you really shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
That's my experience. And I, like I said, just they haven't even, SWD hasn't even done an event. Just with the miscommunication and what was going on, and Diamond not following through what they said they were going to do, they did a smart thing. They backed out and said, you know what? It's, why are we going to ruin our name? Because what happens at the end is whoever's running the drifting event is. The local drift scene is going to look at them. They're not going to look at DEMA because they don't recognize DEMA as a drift sanctioning body.
Mm.
Whoever's running the drifting event is going to. So, say if Pat Gooden takes it over, and DEMA just doesn't ends up making him do more or whatever happens, and the event goes bad, it's not going to look bad on in DEMA. It's going to look bad on Pat. Because everybody's going to see as Pat is in charge running the event, but at the same time, they might not. They might try to get somebody else in there. And, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen is not a good idea. You need one chef.
Yeah. Noel, your thoughts?
I really have nothing to say about it. I mean, he covered all bases on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to try, for the next episode, try to get an interview with Brian. Tim's going to try to do that. Probably get a little bit more clarification, and that way people aren't thinking like, "Oh, Tim's saying all it's all hearsay, it's all shenanigans."
Wait, what? Say that again.
Malarkey. You didn't hear it?
No. Well, I got a text message.
Damn. Sorry. You and your ADHD. Damn it, Tim. I was just mentioning to our listeners that for the next podcast, we're going to try to get an interview with Brian.
Oh yes, we're going to try to work a Skype interview. Have Brian on here. Maybe can shed some light on the subject as well as speak about the changes in SWD. Which I don't know if you want to go into that, but I want to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, I think we still have some time. Being that one of the changes, they dropped out of the OSW event, and they're now switching gear. They're now switching over to CFRC for their Pro-Am event.
Which is cool.
Which is great, and it's rather unfortunate for some of us, especially down here, because PBIR was a great location. It's like,
was a great location, but CFRC is a better venue.
Yeah. And it was interesting how, and the post article that somebody posted up, no, not making any names here, but not to toot my own horn.
Yes.
Yes, someone put up an article talking about the covering the announcement, and they posted up a basically, I forgot what it was, but it was that PVAR could not come to terms with the focus of their scope, SWD scope.
You just tooted your own horn.
Great.
Just saying.
Yeah. So, PVAR could not come to terms with the focus of their scope. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean to you, Noel?
It means that PBR doesn't hold SWD as a priority.
The problem with PBR is they're greedy, and that's what happens a lot of tracks down here.
Yeah,
because up north, when I went to Charlotte Motor Speedway, they get a NASCAR track, and we're not talking like Homestead Speedway NASCAR track, which is really like a makeshift NASCAR track. It's too small, but we're talking you go into Charlotte Motor Speedway, and you're like, wow. I mean, it's mind-blowing. Well, and they get that event and that venue. They can't get PBIR. PBR, the thing is, down here, everybody is money, 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 and that's what's... PBR is missing out. They definitely are missing out.
Well, to them, they're not.
To them, they're not, because they don't really care about drifting. But, like I said, I don't know. It's
the only reason Formula D is running there is because that's a big money name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to bring 6,000 spectators over here, then yeah, let's run it. You know, but like, as Pro-Am, they're going to be like, what's Pro-Am? You know, like, but who are these people? They're nobodies. Yeah. So, like, you know, and especially if they're going to run the Pro-Am event the day after FD, none of the spectators are going to come to watch that.
Well, I have to say, it's good in a sense, from my opinion. I think it's good in the sense that it should allow SWD to have more time to run their event.
That is absolutely true.
I agree.
Because I heard some of the, like, one of the issues with the event from last year was the fact that...
lack of practice.
Yeah. And the fact that since they had to sort of cut down on their time, SWD had to cut down on their time so much that it affected the amount of seat time they actually had in order to practice for the event, the drivers. So you sort of had to have two events together, sort of try to work something out. Obviously, FD had the preference. And so it's good in that sense.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I had somebody had mentioned to me, I'm going to go ahead and say his name. I was talking to Mr. Sexy Chris Jackson. Anyways,
I thought it was world famous Chris Jackson.
It is world famous, but there's a reason why I said that. Anyways,
okay.
He was like, oh, you know, SWD Pro-Am is going to suck because, you know, the fun part of running SWD Pro-Am is you get to run with the FD guys and blah, blah, blah. I understand that excitement thing, but with SWD breaking off as an event organizer, you know this very well. Trying to run an event alongside another event where you're trying to have the driver, okay, now you got to come out, we got to judge, we got to get our stuff off, and the switching and everything, the drivers suffer, SWD suffers. When I did the Charlotte Motor Speedway event, it was ton of seat time, no issues, there was
no pressure.
Time for driving, no pressure, it was a lot more laid back, you could focus on, there was less distractions as a driver.
I think the other, it's a minor thing, but I think the other I should mention is the fact that at least now, the Pro-Am drivers won't have to pit on the other side of the track.
Well,
oh, we're not going to be on that track.
They're not going to be at PBR anyway, so.
No, that's what I'm saying, though.
As well as
that's
Atlanta,
the point.
Atlanta
they're not
going
to they're not gonna have to park on the other side of the track just to go over to...
Face it, SWD was treated like rejects, almost. Like, weren't treated well. It was like, okay, here's the Pro-Am guys. Okay, everybody, go get something to eat. You know, go ahead, go get something to eat. If you want to go to the mall, go to the mall. The Pro-Am guys are going to go do their thing. And come back for FD. We're going to have the Pro guys out just after them.
It sucks for the Pro-Am
guys. It's like they're like the freak show part of the circus.
You're right. It's like the rejects.
Look, it really sucks also as for the Pro-Am guys that between sessions that something's wrong with their car. As drivers, we want to see the top pros driving too. We want to like relax and watch it. You don't have time. Sometimes you don't have time to relax when you're at an event that you're driving at.
Right.
There is no downtime. You got to work on the car. You got to figure something out. Maybe the car setup's a little off, whatever. Mm-hmm. And these guys, you know, it's a lot of stress because at the same time, they want to watch the show, but no, their car is wrong. So it's almost not enjoyable. for the pro-am guys. The pro guys, they don't care. I see them all the time. They got their teams working on the cars, and I see them all the time watching the pro-am guys. Like, they're just chilling with the rest of the spectators.
Well, it's not it's stressful for you because you're always like, oh, there's not enough food. Because I'm eating. Oh.
I can't. There's too many vendors.
But I don't have enough money for all this food.
Yeah. So, but they are making a good decision, SWD.
Yeah.
Branching off, it'll make it easier for them. It'll make it better for the drivers. They'll be able to focus, less distractions.
Heck, it's also good for USDC because...
It is good for USDC because... Go ahead.
Yeah, they... The funny thing is the Indema event that SWD had with them, it was actually scheduled in the same exact weekend that the USDC event was going to be hosting their event at the Sun Life Stadium.
No, it was the weekend before.
It was the weekend before. Are you serious?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I thought it was the same weekend.
No, it was the weekend before. That's why I was trying to tell Chris. I was like, listen, SWD is going to be doing an event. Granted, it's not a pro-am event.
Well, it's a good thing you're here to clear up the facts.
Check the facts. So I told Chris, I was like, Chris, dude, there's going to be an event there. Yes, granted, it's not a points event, and it's not the big... payout event at the following one, because I believe they were going to do two OSW events. Neither one were going to be points.
Yeah.
People are still going to want to do it because it's SWD.
Mm-hmm. And there's prizes and stuff.
There's prizes, whatever, but still, they're still, oh, it's SWD, we got to do an SWD event because they never come down here, blah, blah, this, that. So now that SWD backed out of Indema, I don't think it's a good idea anybody waste their money going there. I think they're getting frustrated. The few drivers that do go there, you know, whatever. Hopefully, yeah. Pat does take it over and give some kind of organization or somebody that knows what they're doing does. But I would definitely recommend going to USD because they're going to have payouts.
Yeah,
they're going to have, you know, much, and it's Miami. There's a lot of stuff to do there, and this one it's going to be good. It's going to be at the Dolphin Stadium. They're going to have
Sun Life Stadium.
It's the Dolphin Stadium. It's always going to be Dolphin Stadium.
It's Joe Next Robbie. Year,
Joe
what are you
Robbie.
Talking about?
Pro player, whatever you want to call it. Sun Life Stadium.
Landshark.
It's on the border of Miami and Broward. And speaking of that, they're going to have the Landshark Bar. I mean, there's going to be open bar. Or not open bar, I'm sorry, because that's people think to come free drink. But they're going to have a bar there. So, you know, people can drink. They're going to have food trucks there. They're going to have two drift tracks going on at the same time. They're going to have the Extreme Karting is going to come out and do a demo. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. It's not going to be just a...
Yeah. Keep going. Don't get distracted. Come on now.
There's also, they're having a graffiti competition as well. So they're having... There's stuff there for the spectators to come and do. I'm trying to get him to do a rock wall, but I don't think he's doing a rock climbing wall. But anyways, like it's going to be a better event. There's going to be a lot of seat time. It's going to be a fast track layout. We were doing testing today. Me and Ben were there today. And if you have power, easily fourth gear entry.
No,
you could initiate in the fourth is what I'm saying. Like first, second, third, and then slam fourth and get that first half.
You'd be comfortable with the third with third gear.
Third gear. E-brake, but you can get 80 mile an hour.
I ended up driving Ricky Tang's car. Unfortunately, and before I get into the discussion of the layout. Unfortunately, during my test session with the vehicle, it ended up carrying some raw knock.
Yeah, well, it's SR, right?
Yeah, it's an SR, red top.
Mm-hmm.
It was just rather unfortunate. I was like, But in any case.
Does Eric have a 2J?
Eric has a 2J.
And he was selling
turbo. But in any case, so yeah, I had my test session with Ricky Tang's car, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
I got to thank him for that. And yeah, I was definitely comfortable going into it in third gear.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bumpy.
A lot of elevation changes. That's going to be a key factor, but
yeah.
It looks really cool.
It's bumpy depending on where you go, where you attack the track.
But the thing is, as when we do set up the track that day, I'm going to try to make sure people go to the further outside because it is smoother.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave it that wide open where you have one guy going, bouncing around,
yeah.
And a guy on the outside just going to come around, and we need to kind of focus their energy, I guess you could say.
I think it's very important for the drivers that are going to be going to this event that they set up their suspension to be not so stiff. Just soften it up a little bit so that way it gives the suspension the opportunity to absorb some of the bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Ricky Tang's car, it was pretty stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just easily disrupting the car.
Right.
And it just made it a hassle to just to work with it. Actually, it was scary at one point because he didn't have any power steering. So I was on third gear doing the sweeper, right? I was hanging on to the steering wheel, like hanging on to it, but I wanted to take my hand out to shift to second.
But you couldn't because...
But I couldn't because I didn't have enough strength in one arm.
It had no scrimp.
Yes. I didn't have enough strength in one arm to hold the steering wheel from ripping my hand out.
Ripping your hand out. That's a valid point, though. I really, if you're going to have power steering, it should work. I do agree with that.
It was crazy. And it was very frustrating, too. That's why you saw me struggling out there a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Grr!" But it was just that area. I mean, obviously, if it would have had power steering, I would have easily just downshifted a second and just kept it going. But yeah, that was very frustrating. Wow. Very, very frustrating. And
but
it looks like power steering.
It looks like a really fun layout. There's going to be a very good tandems.
Oh yeah, definitely fun. I had a lot of fun with the layout. It's
great
good,
tandems.
Good flow. Should make for good tandems, especially for with the way how it's laid out. That it's coming from the outside and then towards the crowds.
Right.
So the final turn will be right in front of the crowds and where they're going to be at. So it should be good. Definitely good. I like the layout.
Very promising. And then there's definitely backward entry capable this track.
Oh, definitely, for
easily,
sure.
Easily.
You know, the crazy thing is, when I initiated, I was a little skeptical about it first because I was like, oh, I think I'm going too hot. I think I'm going too fast. But then after, like, midway, like, after I already, like, got it sideways, I was like...
I didn't go wide enough.
Yeah, I was like, man, I'm not pushing it fast enough.
Right.
There's just so much space. It's crazy.
And there's even a little hop in the run-up, too, when you're coming out of the...
Oh, yeah.
Out of, like, the cannon, almost looks like, because the way it's set up, you're coming out of that little lot there. And it's just like, oh, it just looks like a blast.
I like it how you mentioned it's a little cannon.
It looks like it's like a cannon because you have this row. It's like a.
Don't you have a cannon sound effect?
I'll look that up, but I don't think so.
Oh, you suck.
We'll see.
We should do that for the event. Every single time somebody comes out of the gate, play a cannon sound. Well, yeah, like that.
They'll be shooting out like bullets.
Oh, and then, of course, everybody with. Tim, you're ruining the microphone.
I know.
Oh, boy. In any case, anything else you want to say about the UCC event?
It's coming up quick.
Yeah.
It.
By the way, Noel can't say anything because unfortunately.
Somebody didn't call me to go.
Look, I don't have to call you, okay?
You have to call me.
No, dude, you're right next to him. Just all you got to do is nudge him out of the bed.
You know, there was something very weird that was said today.
Oh,
there was something very weird.
If only the podcast could
see the expression.
Could transmit the expression on my face.
He's blushing, very blushing.
This is horrible. This is horrible. Today I was speaking to Chris Jackson and
Come on.
He was like, "Oh, why didn't you come out today? You could have rode with Ben." I was like, "Ben went? What? This guy? He didn't even call me.
He woke up. He didn't wake me up.
He didn't call me." And he was like, "Oh man." And Chris goes, "Oh man, you guys are like an old married couple." I'm like, "You can't say that, man. People are gonna think we're gay." And he was like,
"Too late."
Yeah, about that, everybody. I'm like, oh, no. "Great." So this is
Now everything's
but
gay.
No, it's that is not true.
You're gay.
Oh, Ben's part of it too. Relax.
Oh, gosh. And with that note, I'm gonna call this off.
Oh, okay. Change subject.
No. That's it. We're over time, and why'd you have to go there? Seriously, I'm just frustrated.
Well, let's end on the next upcoming events. Just throwing out there real quick. We have Mardi Drift.
Mardi Drift February 27th. It's going to be amazing.
February 27th or 17th?
No, 17th. Oh, my apologies.
Mardi Drift February 17th, and then the one after that is
no. The Soto Drift is having an event February 23. Both morning events, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
What are you loading up?
Nothing.
So, yeah, definitely want to be there for that. I'm going to actually try to be at both of the events. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised if I'm announcing at the Mardi Drift event. Be like, yeah, beach, Vermont, woo!
Yay!
Yes, indeed.
Maybe I'll try to go up there with you.
Sweet. Okay, so thank you all for listening. We hope to see you next time.
Gosh.
And please make sure to put in your comments on the feedback on what we discussed. And be sure to tune in next time. As always, I want to thank my co-host, Tim Murphy.
That's right. Thank you.
and Noel Garcia.
Thank you.
And we hope to.
I couldn't find Booze.
I am quitting this job.
Yeah.
Life on this.
And we'll catch you next time.
I'm such a jerk. Okay.
Keep it real.
Yes, sir. We always do.